The White House continued under an uncomfortable spotlight today as the press asked about the role of Karl Rove, the president's top policy advisor, formerly the deputy chief of staff, in the leak of a CIA officer's identity. Mr. Rove is arguably the most influential presidential aide in history, yet the public knows very little about his personality and his history. Tom Hamburger is a reporter for the Los Angeles Times and author of the forthcoming book, One Party Nation, The Republican Quest for Dominance in the 21st Century. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks. Good to be here.
You published a story in the Los Angeles Times today outlining Karl Rove's long relationship with the Bush family. How did he first come to the attention of the first President Bush?
Karl Rove was actually the subject of an inquiry by the first President Bush when he, in the early 1970s, when he was chairman of the Republican National Committee. Karl Rove at the time had... was a candidate for the leadership of the College Republican Organization, and the election was disputed. Rove was accused, in essence, of dirty tricks, of encouraging espionage on other candidates, and there were delegate selection contests. The battle was so fraught for this the chairmanship of this organization that it fell to the Republican National Committee Chair, George H.W. Bush, to decide the dispute. He reviewed the case, and reviewed it pretty closely, actually assigned an FBI agent to question Karl Rove. And he came away convinced that Karl had done nothing wrong, but he was impressed by Karl Rove's drive and intellect and hired him right away as an aide to the Republican National Committee.
And a bit later, sent Karl Rove, this new aide, down to pick up his son, George W. Bush, at the train station.
Exactly right. And it was Karl Rove was awestruck at first sight. He described meeting the young George W. Bush coming off the train from Harvard Business School. He was sent there to turn over the keys to the family car. And he said he'd never seen so much charisma in one person in all his life. And that was the beginning of a famous partnership.
Yet his partnership with the first President Bush, H.W. Bush, did not end happily.
Well, it was Karl Rove's career, although he is very much in the background in Washington, seldom interviewed publicly, not a frequent face on television, though that's changed in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
His career has, because he is such an aggressive and skilled political player and pushes the envelope in everything that he does, he has landed in controversy. And he did, Neil, as you just suggested, land in some controversy when he worked for the first, for President Bush's this is George H.W. Bush's reelection campaign in 1992.
This would have been the race against Bill Clinton.
That's correct. And during that race, there was an allegation that a Bush loyalist, there were only a few people in a room in which the Texas state chairman of the Bush campaign was berated, and news of what happened to this Texas chair was leaked to a columnist by the name of Robert Novak.
Hmm.
Interesting, isn't it, since that's the name of the columnist to whom the current leak probe has in part been focused. And the leak to Novak was what went on in this meeting in which the Texas state chair was berated. The chair at the time, a fellow by the name of Rob Mosbecker, charged, and according to the Houston Chronicle, still believes today that Karl Rove was the leaker. The Bush campaign in Washington apparently assented, and Karl Rove was fired from the Bush campaign in 1992.
Now, he does a lot of different things for President Bush. I mean, obviously, he's the man credited publicly by the President of the United States as the architect of his political victories as governor of Texas and later two runs for President of the United States.
He has, my colleague with whom I wrote this article and work on the book, Peter Walson, and I believe that he probably has the broadest portfolio of any White House aide in history, and that he's accumulated more power in that in one office than any aide in history. But his official portfolio ranges across domestic and foreign policy. But he is also the micromanager of Bush re-election, RNC re-election election campaign and strategy, and oversees both the policy and the political.
At the same time, and we'll get back into some of these details in a moment, but at the same time also in charge of the president's image and also a lot of policy.
That's correct. The portfolio is so broad, and this is one of the things that that interests us and that the public is learning as a result of this Plame investigation. Karl Rove, very much the man behind the scenes, is actually, we now know from the Time magazine emails that have become public in this case, mm-hmm. is someone who talks to reporters and does so providing background on a fairly regular basis. What we know and what our reporting has shown is that it's the emails, the conversations with Matt Cooper of Time magazine and the Valerie Plame case are not an isolated incident. Karl Rove maintains contact with top reporters and editors at every news organization across the city.
Well, that might be part of the one presidential aide has got to be in charge of that. I mean, somebody's got to do it, right?
I suppose that's exactly right, Neil. Though among the official titles that Karl Rove has, communications director is not one of them.
Not one of them. Of course, he was only speaking on double super secret deep background, as the MMO said. We're talking with Tom Hamburger of the Los Angeles Times about his article today on Karl Rove. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I'd like to get to a little bit more into detail. You were talking about during the re-election campaign. Karl Rove, I think, is as well known. Electoral politics is his passion. He understands things precinct by precinct. Yet during the campaign, you said he went around to various cabinet agencies and talked about the various effects, how they could affect various things in various election races.
Neil, it's one of the things that we found most interesting in Rove's early years in the White House. He and his deputy at the White House at the time, a guy named Ken Melman, who of course is now chair of the RNC, made it a practice of going to almost every one of the executive branch cabinet agencies and addressing the political appointees. Now, of course, political appointees are the managers of these agencies. And their briefing consisted of polling drawn from public sources. There was a brief review of the president's priorities. And there were also a series of electoral maps during which the battleground states were highlighted. And we've had a couple of people who are in these meetings describe to us Rove and Melman's conversations. At the Interior Department, for example, Rove would mention, where there were several important decisions pending, mm-hmm. Rove, for example, mentioned an upcoming Senate race in Oregon. At the time he addressed the Interior Department employees in early 2002, the state's Republican incumbent Senator Gordon Smith was thought to have a tough reelection battle ahead. And Rove made a point of this. Everyone in the room knew that there was a huge decision pending at the Interior Department on the release of, there was a drought in Oregon and whether to release water from the Klamath River.
And endangered fish, and this was a huge controversy. In fact, water was denied to farmers by courts for a long time for endangered species reasons. This became a huge political issue.
Exactly right. Very tough-fought issue. Environmentalists and Indian tribes on the one side not wanting to lower water levels in the river. Farmers desperate for water for their crops said, we have to water our crops and we need to lower these water levels.
And we moved here and set up these farms because the federal government told us we could get water.
Exactly right. Ultimately, the Interior Department made the decision, yes, we're going to release water to these farmers. The farmers happen to be a very important part of the Republican base. The farmers got their water, but there was, the following fall, the largest kill of salmon in the history of the West in that river. Some biologists believe it's because the water levels were so low.
Mm. Now, you've talked about Karl Rove's power and influence at the White House. There's also an important personal relationship with both President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush.
That's correct. Well, and part of understanding Karl Rove's connection to George W. Bush is to understand that both men also had a very strong relationship with the father. Karl Rove got his start or this job in national politics in Washington through the father and came to know him very well. And the father found, indeed, in that investigation, the College Republican case, found in Karl's favor. So there was established very early on a sense of loyalty between Karl Rove and the Bush family, a family that prizes loyalty.
Now, earlier today, President Bush himself was asked, I think himself for the second time in as many days, about Karl Rove's political future at the White House and whether he thought he had done anything wrong and that sort of thing. President of the United States said there's an ongoing investigation. I'm not going to talk about any of this until that investigation is completed. Yet, clearly, given both his professional and personal relationship with the president, if it comes to it, this is going to be a very painful decision.
Well, this is a very tough moment for this White House, in part because of the strong statements that were made previously about the about what would happen to an individual who leaked the name of a covert CIA agent. Mm-hmm. The president said on more than one occasion that he would fire the leaker, someone who committed that act, if they were identified. And as you know, Scott McClellan told the public that it was ridiculous to think that Karl Rove and others were involved in the leaking of classified information. So if it indeed turns out that Karl Rove is involved, it's a very difficult situation for the White House to respond to. And one of the things that we're already seeing is a sort of careful parsing of language. Well, he didn't leak. Did he leak information inappropriately? Was it classified? Was it not?
Did he name Valerie Plame or just identify her? All of these parsings are going to be very important as this case continues to play out and as the investigation goes ahead. Tom Hamburger, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Tom Hamburger, reporter for the Los Angeles Times. I suspect you can find his article online in today's editions. He joined us here in Studio 3A. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.